You're standing in your kitchen, staring blankly at the open refrigerator. You came here for something specific, but what? The memory has vanished like smoke. Before you spiral into worry about cognitive decline, consider this. Your brain isn't broken. It's working exactly as designed. What we call memory failures are actually sophisticated features of an incredibly efficient system. Think of your brain as a ruthless editor, constantly deciding what deserves storage space and what gets deleted. Every forgotten name, every misplaced memory, every frustrating tip of the tongue moment reveals something profound about how we think, who we are, and why perfect memory would actually be a curse rather than a blessing. Within an hour of meeting someone, you've forgotten half of what they said. By tomorrow, 70% has vanished. This isn't failure, it's transience, your brain's efficiency system. Without this filter, you'd drown in trivial details. Your grandmother remembers her wedding vividly, but not this morning's meal. That's prioritization. Her brain determined that a life-defining ceremony deserves permanent storage, while routine meals don't. Emotional intensity overrides this process, which is why you remember exactly where you were during major life events. Your amygdala stamps these memories, important, do not delete. But what about memories that never form? You're cooking while texting, half listening to a podcast, glancing at your kids. Suddenly you freeze. Did you add salt? This is absent-mindedness, encoding failure. Your attention was elsewhere, so no memory formed. The average person checks their phone 96 times daily, each interruption creating an encoding gap. When multitasking, you're rapidly switching tasks, each switch creating vulnerability. The doorway effect, forgetting why you entered a room, occurs because your brain files away the previous context. Stress amplifies this by flooding your prefrontal cortex with cortisol. Einstein famously used a $1,500 check as a bookmark and lost the book.
It's right there. I know it. The tip of the tongue state reveals memory's filing system in action. The information exists, but remains temporarily inaccessible, like a misfiled book. Your brain often retains partial access, the first letter, syllable count, related concepts. Neuroimaging shows your anterior cingulate cortex lighting up with cognitive conflict and incomplete language area activation. Proper names prove especially vulnerable because their arbitrary labels is connected from meaning. You remember everything about your former colleague except their name. This intensifies with age, not from deterioration, but from accumulated interference, decades of competing associations crowding each retrieval pathway. Paradoxically, trying harder worsens blocking. Increased anxiety creates cognitive load that interferes with retrieval, which explains why blocked words often surface during relaxation. Your brain's default mode network activates, allowing diffuse associative processing that bypasses the block. Blocking isn't malfunction, but necessary filtering preventing memory overload. Effective strategies: temporarily shift attention, pursue alternative retrieval paths, or create distinctive encoding contexts that reduce future interference.
You're certain you locked the door. You visualize doing it, but you return home to find it open. Memories aren't recordings, but reconstructions, assembled anew each time. Misattribution occurs when we correctly remember content but incorrectly identify its source, or mistake imagination for reality. Your brain prioritizes coherent narratives over accuracy, seamlessly blending experience with knowledge, beliefs, and suggestions. This happens in the hippocampus, which binds memory elements stored across your cortex. When binding mechanisms falter, elements from different experiences intermingle. Similar brain regions activate whether you're remembering actual events or imagining hypothetical ones, explaining the confusion. Suggestibility increases misattribution dramatically. In one study, participants saw ads suggesting they'd met Bugs Bunny at Disneyland, impossible since Bugs is Warner Bros. Property, yet 16% later remembered this fictional encounter. Sleep deprivation worsens the problem because sleep consolidates memories, strengthening accurate connections. Most troubling, confidence bears little relationship to accuracy. People can be absolutely certain about completely false memories, devastating for eyewitness testimony. Understanding misattribution means recognizing memory's constructed nature and approaching important recollections with appropriate humility.
We don't simply remember our past, we continuously rewrite it through our current lens. Memory bias represents our tendency to unconsciously edit memories to align with present perspectives. When researchers asked participants to recall past attitudes on marijuana legalization years later, recollections shifted dramatically toward current positions, even with documentation proving otherwise. This retrospective revision preserves coherent identity and avoids cognitive dissonance. Emotional state profoundly influences recall through mood-congruent memory. When depressed, negative memories surface more readily. When happy, positive ones dominate. That first date might seem endearingly awkward during happy relationship periods, but reveal warning signs during conflict. Hindsight bias, the I knew it all along effect, leads us to overestimate how predictable outcomes seemed beforehand. Self-serving biases ensure we remember successes as personal achievements while attributing failures to circumstances. Aging amplifies this through a positivity effect, preferentially recalling positive experiences. Rather than viewing these as distortions, consider them adaptive mechanisms supporting psychological health and coherent identity. Sometimes the problem isn't forgetting, but remembering too well. Persistence, intrusive recollection of unwanted memories, represents memory's most emotionally painful feature, from minor embarrassments to traumatic experiences that repeatedly intrude into consciousness. Your amygdala tags emotionally charged experiences as important, leading to enhanced encoding. The same system that helps you remember genuine threats also ensures you vividly recall public humiliations or painful betrayals. Traumatic memories show distinctive characteristics, fragmented rather than coherent, with vivid sensory details but disjointed narrative. During recall, language processing areas show reduced activity, while sensory regions become hyperactive, explaining why trauma survivors struggle to verbalize experiences while being overwhelmed by sensory flashbacks. For most people, unwanted recollections naturally diminish through emotional processing. However, approximately 8 to 12% develop persistent intrusions that fail to resolve, forming the core of PTSD. Rumination, repetitive negative thinking, significantly exacerbates persistence. When you repeatedly rehearse negative memories, you strengthen their neural pathways, making them more accessible. Overthinking embarrassing moments makes them more likely to spontaneously intrude later. Exposure-based therapies help properly contextualize traumatic memories through repeated, controlled recollection in safe environments. Understanding persistence helps us recognize that intrusive memories reflect normal mechanisms functioning too intensely rather than mental weakness. Memory's seven sins aren't flaws, they're adaptive features. Our memory evolved not as a recorder, but as a tool for navigating present challenges and imagining futures. Transience prevents overload by clearing irrelevant information. Suggestibility enables cultural learning. Bias maintains psychological well-being and coherent identity. Persistence keeps threat information accessible. Memory's reconstructive nature, the source of many errors, is actually its greatest strength. By storing gist rather than exact replicas, our brains flexibly recombine elements to solve new problems. Perfect memory would ironically impair these functions. People with highly superior autobiographical memory struggle with decision-making, unable to prioritize relevant details, often finding their extraordinary recall burdensome. Rather than fighting memory's tendencies, work with them. Create encoding environments leveraging attention, use-based repetition, implement verification strategies, develop healthy emotional processing. Your forgetting isn't failure. It's your brain helping you focus on what matters, freeing you to imagine, create, and thrive.